In the new movie Kinsey, director Bill Condon, best known for the indie film Gods and Monsters, tackles the subject of Alfred Kinsey. In the 40s and 50s, Kinsey brought a scientist's zeal for pure research to the subject of human sexuality, both liberating and inflaming a culture that had defined normal sexuality very narrowly. Liam Neeson stars as Kinsey. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Morality disguised as fact. That's what Alfred Kinsey, played by Liam Neeson, calls sex education in the late 1930s. The phrase is incendiary even today, and it's the central motif of Bill Condon's Kinsey. Most biographical movies are spread out and superficial. They have no dramatic spine. But Condon's film is shaped by these four words. Morality disguised as fact warps the young Kinsey as it warped his puritanical father. It galvanizes the work of the scientist and the pioneer sex researcher, and it ultimately consumes the man. Condon's structure is incisive. The movie opens with the mature Kinsey drilling three of his research assistants in how to pose questions for a survey of sex habits, the survey that would involve thousands of subjects and form the core of his revolutionary study, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male and its female-oriented sequel. The point is to make the subject feel comfortable, because, after all, people could easily be shamed when they talk, as they've never talked before, about how they masturbate, how they fantasize, how they have sex. The assistants practice by interviewing Kinsey, and one, played by Peter Sarsgaard, asks about his father, which prompts a look of panic and a flashback. Here is the adolescent Kinsey being bullied and shamed by his moralistic dad, played by John Lithgow, and then drilled in the danger to your brain if you touch yourself. And then a nice flourish. Condon puts his writer-director credit over a shot of young Kinsey in his sleeping bag, endangering his brain. Kinsey is not a masturbatory movie, though. It's broadly sympathetic while maintaining a clinician's detachment. From the beginning, as a researcher specializing in an insect known as the gall wasp, Kinsey fastens on the idea that individuals within species could show an infinite number of variations. In other words, there are no abnormal gall wasps, only millions of diverse little critters to be individually cataloged. You get a good idea what Clara McMillan, played by Laura Linney, is up against when she flirts with her reclusive professor.
Hello. Mind if I sit here?
Why?
Because you're the only unattached male, and I'm the only unattached female.
That's very sensible.
A man who cooks, how refreshing.
I picked it up when I went out west to collect galls. I was gone for 11 months, and I don't think I saw more than a dozen people the whole time.
Sounds lonely.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
I've been reading up on gall wasps. I think I know why they appeal to you.
Uh-huh.
They have great big wings, but they can't fly. They're incapable of getting from this hill to that hill unless it's close enough to walk, which means it's possible to retrace each generation's steps, hill by hill, by hill, by hill, all the way back to the very beginning. The gall wasp Garden of Eden.
That's very interesting, Miss Millen. You've managed to bridge the gap between Darwin and the Book of Genesis in a single phrase.
Macmillan.
Hmm?
Clara McMillan.
Oh, I'm Proc.
Sorry?
It's a nickname my graduate students have given me. Professor K. Inzi. Proc. At first, I worried that it suggested an inappropriate level of intimacy between teacher and student that could lead to a loss of respect down the line.
I think it just means they like you.
Yes. Eventually, I realized that.
That's a delightful scene. It makes you laugh while it shows you how cut off Kinsey is from the human race. Neeson is very deft and very delicate at using his stature to suggest estrangement. He's Karloff's Frankenstein's monster with a PhD. This stunted giant resolves that humans are bigger, more complicated gall wasps. Jonathan Gaythorn Hardy, whose wonderful, chatty biography was a source for Condon's screenplay, writes that, quote, Kinsey felt he could only study sex by stripping away all but its physiological functions, first removing moral judgments, second, even harder, emotions and feelings. For both, he was ideally equipped psychologically, and for both, he was savagely criticized. What's inspiring about Kinsey is that it never streamlines this complexity. Its protagonist is a martyr to American moralism, unfairly denounced for insecticizing American womanhood by cataloging its practices, but also a selfish man whose steely exploration of his own bisexuality in the name of science takes a toll on his wife and colleagues. But if it's hard to like Kinsey when he watches, bemused, as a fight breaks out over wife-swapping on his team, it's impossible not to share his joy as he wanders near the end among California redwoods with his loyal wife, enthralled by the enormity of the natural world. Kinsey is stupendously moving, with searching performances by Neeson, Linney, Lithgow, and Sarsgaard. Condon has the cheekiness to cast Tim Curry, Dr. Frankenfurter himself, as the voice of academic repression, the one who disguises morality as fact. It brings us full circle, for isn't Kinsey, in a way, the father of the man on woman, woman on monster, monster on man, pansexual utopia of the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate.